Showdown at the Orchid Pavilion by the Rich Stream. Written and read by Fresney, although in all fairness, all the poems were written by Lee Bai. Fandom Sherlock BBC, warnings for Omegaverse, I guess, part of the Variations on an Equation series. Where Mojai stood in bitter opposition to Halsey. For whenever Mojai would move forward, there was Halsey standing in his way. He had compared Mojai's work to that of a buffalo. He had compared his brushstrokes to that of a strangled lashings of a cat's tail. Mojai was a beta of distinction. His brushstrokes had made Omegas blush. His poetry was on the subjects of greatest beauty. The scent of an Omega in first flower. The fire of an Alpha returning from battle with the Tartars. Returning from war to their heated Omega. What did Halsey write upon but the companionship of Betas? All was calm moonlight upon the Green Mountain. How were these words the fit subject for poetry? Down the Blue Mountain in the evening. Moonlight was my homeward escort. Looking back, I saw my path lie in the levels of deep shadow. Ahead led me twining through jade bamboos, where green vines caught and held my clothes, home with you. I was glad of a chance to rest, and glad of a chance to drink with my friend. We sang to the tune of the wind in the pines, and finished our songs as the stars went down, I being drunk, and my beta friend more than happy. Between us, we forgot the world. Mojai was a beta. He well knew that betas were for the taking of imperial examinations and bureaucracy and brushstrokes, for the winning of poetry, not as the subject of it. It was time to settle this matter. Mojai sent a message on the third day of the third month during the spring purification ritual that Halsey should meet Mojai at the Orchid Pavilion. He advised that he should leave his beta lover behind, for the shame that was sure to befall him in their battle would leave Halsey less in his eyes. Halsey came. He had dressed in loose black robes, as if he considered himself above displaying his rank. Mojai sneered. He himself was resplendent in embroidered dark green silk, for he had attained a rank of the sixth grade. Halsey came alone. Clearly, he did not want to humiliate himself in front of his beta lover, a lowly clerk with whom he shared lodgings. There was quite a crowd. Mojai had sent out invitations out widely. He himself was being served by his cousin, Mose, who, having been ousted from his post in the military, now must come looking for work from his more successful cousin, Mojai. This was not entirely displeasing. Halsey knelt under the blossoming plum tree on the bank of the stream. Mojai sat under the blossoming cherry upon the opposite bank. Halsey signaled that the contest was to begin. The bowls of rice wine were set out into the water upstream. The first three floated by to please some surprised reveler. But the fourth landed by Mojai. He readied his brush. He drank his cup down. He wrote, "A cup of wine. Under the flowering trees, I drink carefully, for my enemy is near. Raising my cup, I beckon the bright moon, for he, with my shadow, will make three men, the better to strike my foe down, sending that fool to cloudy river of the sky." The next cup went to Halsey. He savored it, drinking it slowly. Mojai called out, "If you cannot drink it like a beta, perhaps you are better suited to writing script for the government." Mose whistled a jeer, and there was laughter from the crowd. Halsey did not speed up. He finished sipping his wine. He put his own brush to paper. A wind, bringing willow cotton, sweetens the stream, and the current, pouring wine, urges me to share it. with my comrades of the city who would see you off. And as each of them drains their cup, I say to each in parting, Oh, go and ask this river running to the east, if I can bring my Beta to my side once you are gone. The moonlight is shining down, but all is in darkness, without calm beams to conduct light outside convention. A painted Omega smiled softly behind her hand at a silver-haired Alpha soldier who wore a silver fox pin upon his breast. Mojai reached out into the stream to pluck his second cup. In what house the jade that sends these dark notes, screeching, scattered on the spring wind that fills Lo Yang? Tonight, if we should hear this fool breaking wind, who could help but long for a sweeter scent? The painted Omega giggled behind her hand and turned to her Omega friends. They whispered to each other like so many brightly plumed partridges that disdained being plucked by a lowly Beta. Poetry would make them beg for his attentions. Mojai plucked the next cup also. See how I race ahead of you? Holji spread his hands wide. The night is long. Mojai drank quickly and picked up his brush. I met Holji by a stream in spring, when the sun was cool. Under the shade of his flowery tree, his face was sad. In the years since we met, he'd grown lame, exhausted. Poor Holji, I thought then. He must agonize over his bad poetry. The next cup bumped neatly against the bank where Holji sat. He sipped from it and looked up at the moon. He picked up his brush. You ask me why I dwell in the Green Mountain. I smile and make no reply, for my heart is free of care. As the blossoms flow downstream and are gone into the unknown, we have a world apart that is of moonlight calm. I have a fixed point in this ever-changing age. An Alpha in the rich yellow robes of one who lived in the palace smiled to hear the poem read. He looked to his Omega and whispered something to him. The painted Omega whispered something in return. This would not do at all for Holshi's poetry to find favor. Mojai angrily plucked a cup from the middle of the stream, almost oversetting himself. He drank it down quickly and picked up his brush. This was where matters became somewhat fuzzy, but he was certain his poem spoke on the moon and jugs of wine and that fool sitting over there. There were more giggles from the painted Omegas, and more cups floated downstream. Mojai woke to find himself thankfully upon his back in the stream, clutching a brush. He sat up, uncomfortably aware of every stone pressed into his body, and of the sour taste of vomit in his mouth. He looked blearily at the other bank of the stream. Holji sat cross-legged, glancing up periodically at the vicious, piercing rays of the sun as they slanted through the blossom-laden trees. Xi! The sound was like a lancet piercing through Mojai's ears. He attempted to blink his eyes into focus, but was forced to close one eye. It was the Beta, who shared lodgings with Holji. His name currently swam like a fish out of the reach of Mojai's memory. Xi! You look like you were scraped off the bottom of my shoe. I could have told you that this was a bad idea. The Beta knelt down, wrinkling his nose. Did you win? Holji held up a finger. Firstly, if you would modify your volume, that would be greatly appreciated. He held up another finger, and then swept his hand out to point at Mojai. In that I am currently sitting on the bank writing poetry. I'm not waking up in the stream. Yes. Eh! Mojai's idiot cousin moaned from somewhere further downstream. He sat up and waved his bottle of rice wine before lobbing it at Holji. It landed sadly in the stream, and only accomplished splashing them both. Thirdly, Holji folded his hand upon the curve of the face of the Beta facing him. In your absence, you were here in poetry the entire while. In the face of you, bathed in Beta fragrance, do not brush your hat. Washed in perfume, do not shake your coat. The beta wrinkled his nose again. If you think that will let you kiss me into our bed with a single bit of poetry while your sweat stinks of rice wine, you are mistaken. You abandoned me to engage in drunken poetry writing. Holshi trailed his hand through the vicious, stabbing sunlight. John, only so I could spare you what I know you find distasteful. He slanted his eyes down, as if he were an Omega courtesan, and not a beta in black robes. Knowing the world fears what is pure, the wisest man prizes and stores light. His poetry was met with laughter, as it should be. Mojai sneered from his place in the stream. John rolled his eyes. I waited for hours at the noodle shop. It was the anniversary of our meeting upon the Green Mountain. With a heavy heart, I went home. But Holshi was incorrigible. He said, by blue water. An old angler sat, lost without his beta. You and I together, let us go home. He gathered sunlight in his hand and swept it down to brush along the arm of his lover. Clouds elude your robes, the sun your face. Winds of spring caress. He let the last word linger in his mouth. A harlot poet's trick! And sparkling dewdrops cluster. Omegas may call the gasp. He swept his hand back up his lover's arm. An alpha's rutting caw. He leaned forward from where he sat. But you and I together, let us go home. You are the grit in my instrument, the much-needed crack in my lens. Now you insult me. John crossed his arms. They say that a genius is an infinite capacity for taking pains. It is not so, said Holshi. His fingers plucked at the sleeves of those crossed arms. It is for understanding that the grit is needed to make the instrument function. The crack is needed to reflect on light. And pressed his lips to that of his lover's. More fool he. That beta did not push Holshi into the stream, but accepted the kiss. They soon left together. While Mojai crawled slowly out of the stream and made the shameful walk home, as word of his defeat spread, he was forced to take a position teaching poetry to a silk merchant's children. He contented himself by taking revenge, by writing bitter poetry. He reflected that at least posterity would remember him as the winner. It would have brought him no solace to discover that this was not so. The end.